Hey folks, today on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast, we are interviewing Chris Brewer from OMG Commerce. Chris shares his insights into digital marketing, where e-commerce businesses are missing it right now, as well as the importance of following up. We had a great time, and we hope you enjoy.
Hi, Salim Omar here. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. I am super excited. We've got a guest by the name of Chris Brewer. He's the co-founder of OMG Commerce. His company delivers online and offline marketing expertise, advice, and education to e-commerce businesses and brands worldwide. Chris has a history of building seven-figure businesses. In addition to the growth and success with OMG, his entrepreneurial accomplishments have included an outdoor advertising firm and publishing company. He's the author of the book, Does Your Marketing Make You Money? Seven Quick and Easy Secrets to Creating a Booming Business Now. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Salim. It is great to be here. And I think we're both experiencing finally some wonderful weather, which it's unfortunate we're inside, but I am excited about what we're going to dig into today.
Awesome. Great. Likewise. So Chris, I quickly kind of, you know, you've got an amazing, you know, background, accomplishments to date. 30 seconds or less, you know, give us a high level overview of some highs of your background, or perhaps what have you been up to recently?
I think I'll stick with what I've been up to recently, because that's what I'm most excited about. Folks can Google me and find out all the good stuff with history on LinkedIn and that kind of thing. But right now I run an agency of 50 individuals, mostly based here in our office in Springfield, Missouri. And we've got an office in New Jersey. Just found out that we've moved up many, many spots on the Inc. 5000 list, and just announced that we are one of America's greatest companies as named by Inc. magazine as well. And we scored about as high as a company of our size can score. So those are some of the things I'm most proud of, is being able to build a company like this with my business partner, Brett Curry, and have an amazing culture that lends itself to great accolades like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm going to kind of deviate from the questions a little bit. What have been one or two things you guys have done to reach that kind of, to have that kind of success in your own company?
It comes down to something I just said, which is culture, which if you had asked me 6 or 7 years ago about what I think about company culture, I probably would have said, oh, it's up there with those kind of California woo-woo kind of things. You hear about, you go to the sweat lodge or something like that and get all your stuff out. Well, as I started to read the book Traction, which I highly recommend for any e-commerce budding entrepreneur, any entrepreneur in general, as I started reading that and my business partner, my COO, started reading that, it was clear to us that culture had to come first, or we would never reach the levels that we aspire to reach. And so having that team in a place where people love coming to work, they're here to help one another level each other up. Used to, we would have these issues from time to time, you know, gossip, water cooler chat. That is virtually absent from our organization. So it's a very healthy place. And once you reach that level, your culture becomes self-policing. So it's not about my COO or myself or Brett having to kind of watch how things are going. Everybody owns it and takes care of any of those things that come in that are not accepted in our culture.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. You say that. You know, and Chris, culture is one of the most important things in an organization, and it's probably one of the most challenging things in an organization, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'd say it starts with whoever the leader is. So if you're, as we find a lot of times, we find seven, even occasionally eight-figure e-commerce endeavors where it's 3 to 5 people. And they may have other VAs or external staff working, but especially at the seven-figure later level, it's one entrepreneur and maybe a support staff. But even in there, you have to have a focus on culture. What is your culture going to be, even if it is a company of two? And what are you going to expect from those that are going to be working with you? And especially as you get into maybe acquiring other brands or acquiring other people, all of those things usually have to pass kind of that initial culture test. Is this somebody or an entity that can absorb into our organization and we're going to be able to keep our core culture intact? That's what I see some mistakes sometimes, people bringing on individuals and making an excuse for them like, well, we really need their expertise. They don't really fit our culture, but we'll help them adapt to our culture. It's kind of like the old, you know, well, you get married after that weekend in Vegas and I'll change him or I'll change her. It never works out that way.
Yeah. 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 I once read the definition of culture, and it is what people do, how they interact with each other, how they behave when the boss is not around. And, you know, in your case, you know, you've got an organization that's 50 people and you're not around. you're not watching over them, and you want have, you know, people to have that autonomy where they're functioning and they're doing things according to their principles, their values, the culture of the organization, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our some of our culture values are care, constant improvement, and having fun. That's just a few. Transparency is a big one. And that's how we kind of roll with our clients as well. Sometimes people aren't really prepared for that. When we say, hey, we just want to let you know we're a very transparent organization. We're going to share with you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're going to deal with it. And for some, that is very refreshing, and they enjoy that. For others, they may not be used to operating that way. But that's just a kind of example. So, and that's where, you know, for those listening too, constant improvement is something I can't stress enough. Not relying on agencies, freelancers, or your significant other to help you level up in business. Ultimately, it's up to you to improve yourself and improve your skills and your education. Because a lot of times I'm on podcasts like this and there'll be people listening. Maybe they've got a dream, or maybe they've just got a Shopify site, but they haven't really made very many sales. And they hear some of the things we're talking about and they get excited, which is awesome. I love people getting excited about the things we talk about, but they're not ready to hire anyone to help them with their business because they haven't yet helped themselves. They haven't learned enough about the principles of marketing and some of the basics of building a brand so that they're going to avoid getting taken advantage of. There are folks out there that will take your money and tell you all the right things, and you won't find out until your money is gone or almost gone that really this wasn't the right person to hire. And had you been more educated, you would have been able to see through some of those things or know the questions to ask so that you wouldn't start in a relationship like that.
Yeah. Shifting gears for a moment here, where are e-commerce businesses missing it out right now?
This is a question I like to give folks like you when I do podcasts, because it's an answer that changes frequently. So 3 to 5 years ago, if you'd asked me this, I would have had a very different answer. But right now, where e-commerce stores are missing out, in my opinion, is some of the basics like page speed. People will go out, they'll get a Shopify theme, they'll pay several thousand dollars to get it developed. They'll get their products, they'll get everything ready to go, and then they're ready to run traffic, hire somebody to run ads. But their site is just like a snail when it's loading. It's very slow to load. And Google will reward a fast loading site. And so when you start running Google ads, you'll increase your quality score, which is something you can look up if you're not familiar with that. Increasing your quality score in Google ads will give you more impression share. They'll allow your ads to show more. And Google wants people to have a good user experience. So if your site is loading at a 20% out of 100 threshold, Google's going to say, hey, we don't want to even show your ads very often because people are going to get a bad experience. They're going to have to sit there for 6 or 7 seconds on the initial load time waiting on the site to load. So that's one of the things I tell people is go to Google and do a site speed test, load up GT metrics, get an opinion from them. And if you're loading under, if your total score is under 70%, you need to find somebody, your developer or maybe a company I could recommend to you that can help you improve those scores. And even though your site, for instance, on Shopify is hosted by Shopify, there's still a lot that can be done to make it a fast loading site. So that's one area where stores are missing out, is overlooking page speed as a way to get better organic rankings, create higher conversion rates, all of those things. And then I think another area where they're missing out is in having a video library, around the products, a video library around the brand, a video that will have user-generated content, testimonials, if you're having influencers, having those kinds of videos. Because as you grow, those videos are going to help you with Facebook ads. Those videos are going to help you, like our company does, with YouTube ads. We have a lot of stores, again, come to us because they've heard about what we can do for them on YouTube. They're ready to go, but they're not ready to go because they haven't even produced any videos, or they may have scaled up on Facebook to 5-6 figures a month and spend on Facebook, but all the videos they have are in the Facebook format, 15 to 30 seconds. And really, in order to have a good YouTube video, it needs to be, you know, at least a minute, 45 seconds bare minimum, because the ad types that are run there, you're not going to get charged unless they watch the first 30 seconds of the video or they click off of it. So if you're trying to run YouTube ads that are 30-second ads, I actually see this quite frequently. Wow, our YouTube's just performing terrible. We put our highest converting Facebook ad on there and we're losing all kinds of money. Well, that's because YouTube's charging you every single time because it's a 30-second ad. So that is one of the things that I would suggest. And before we get off on the podcast, I'll include some resources people can look at to help them build that video content.
Oh, that'd be great. Super. Yeah. So website load time, page speed, important.
Yep.
Video library, second thing.
Yep. Video marketing, video content marketing, and getting advice on what are the right kinds of videos to produce that will help you expand your brand message, but also help convert new buyers.
Awesome. Anywhere else that e-commerce businesses are missing out right now?
I think those are the two main things that I would mention that come up quite frequently. I think if I had to stretch, I might say that they might be missing it by looking at Amazon as an opportunity before even launching off Amazon, but it depends. They may also have grown to a certain level on Amazon, but be missing out because they're not taking advantage of Google Shopping, especially if they have a large catalog of products that they could add to Google Shopping essentially for free and get free exposure on Google.
Yeah, and there's so much change in with Amazon and Google. How do e-commerce businesses handle the rapid change with that?
Well, I think one of the things they can do is listen to podcasts like this, where you're going to have people that are current in the field. They can, you know, if you've got a commute, if you're going out for a jog, you can listen to content like this and make a note. Hey, I should be checking on page speed. When was the last time I asked my developer? I haven't done these kinds of things. And so that can help you keep up. The other thing is just working with experts and reaching out to experts. No, and because, you know, there's so many different agencies out there. There's agencies for email, agencies for CRO, conversion rate optimization. There's agencies like ours for Google Ads and Amazon Ads and YouTube. There's Facebook, Instagram. So there's so many people out there. And that is another conversation for another day, which is how to select providers that are going to be good fits for your business. But the best thing you can do is just rather than taking your downtime to just watch nothingness on YouTube or Netflix, take a half an hour every other day, just commit to it, to reading a book in your field, listening to podcasts, watching videos. And that is what I can recommend. And also a little, one of my ninja tactics is just contact an agency that you have no intention of hiring. Tell them up front, I am simply trying to educate myself because eventually I would love to hire an agency like yours. Could you spend 15 minutes with me to answer a few questions? The good guys, like I think our agency is, will take that call. And because those of us, and there's many of us, I've got a lot of referral partners I use. You can't be one of our referral partners if you're not going to treat inquiries, prospects, the same way we're going to treat them, which is listen, advise, and if they're not going to be the right fit for us, we're going to refer them out. And so we want to make sure people do that as well. So there's a wealth of knowledge out there that these agencies have because they have to keep up. If they don't keep up, they're going to lose their clients to somebody else. So that's where I would say is lean in on the resources that are out there available, connect with them on LinkedIn, and really try to avoid, this is another little tip, avoid the sheltered universe of Facebook groups. This is one of the things that I think those of us in agency world joke about a little bit. There are, and I'm not going to name any groups, but there are a few e-commerce groups out there. I'm members of some of these forums and I'm in some of these groups. The downside to these groups, as amazing as most of them are, you're still sheltered. You're going to hear from somebody that they tried YouTube ads and it was a disaster, or they ran Amazon DSP ads with Amazon and they felt like they wasted their money. And if you listen to that one experience and decide for yourself, oh, I'm not going to do that, you are way short-circuiting your efforts. So make sure, get the advice from those kinds of communities because those are real experiences. But what I've found is that for every real experience that somebody has with YouTube ads not working, there's a guy in that forum that's got an eight-figure business that's killing it who's not going to chime in and tell you not to do it. Don't rely on a single agency for all your advice. Don't rely on a single Facebook group to determine what direction your business is going to go. Be open to advice from a wide variety of sources and use that to formate your opinion and your strategy moving forward.
I mean, that's wonderful business advice, Chris. Whether someone's looking for marketing help or anything else, I mean, what you just shared there is $1 million idea, $1 million strategy, $1 million gem is really come from a place of being prepared and being educated and being aware of what's out there, right? What's working, what's not.
100%.
Any advice for businesses that would like to scale up online?
Yeah, you know, that's the million-dollar question, right? And that I get at least once a week is, can you guys help me scale up? And it's a loaded question. And that's why we get on discovery calls with folks and we may spend 30 to 45 minutes with them. At the end, sometimes they're surprised. They're thinking a pitch or some kind of close, trial close is coming. We actually say, you know what? We need to evaluate this information. We need to talk to our team. We need to see if we believe this is going to be a good fit moving forward because scaling up can mean a lot of different things. And so, for instance, for someone who's new to Google Ads, we know that in most cases, that brand is going to need 5 to 6 months of work, effort, testing, trying different ad formats to get them to a place where they can begin to really scale and move into things like YouTube ads. And so like for our agency, I'm typically referring out people that are brand new to Google to a smaller agency who has maybe a lower bar expectation-wise. And we want folks to touch base with us if they're interested in talking, but we want to make sure people don't think, for instance, like Google Ads is going to be maybe how their Facebook experience was. Because if they had the right kind of ad set with Facebook, they could have tested $1,000, had a really good conversion rate, and start to scale Facebook pretty quickly. But because Facebook is a social medium and Google is a search medium, they're two different platforms that are going to take two different ways to scale up. So that's what I like to let folks know is make sure you've got solid expectations from whoever you're working with when you get started on Google or Amazon. What does scaling up really mean to you? And also be open to the experts telling you that your expectations are too high.
Oh, this is great. Chris, favorite sales advice?
Favorite sales advice? This is real quick. And this is really traditional, but it counts in traditional sales as it does in digital marketing. And that is follow up, follow up, follow up, until they buy or die. Those some of you are out there, oh, that's so dark, Chris. Well, no, die means they go away. Die means they opt out of your email list. Die means they tell you, please don't contact me anymore. But you know, I'm amazed at some of the companies sometimes that maybe they tell us they were on Shark Tank and they failed to put in their retargeting tag on Facebook before they went live on the show. And so they got millions of people to their website and they didn't gather that audience data. So they can't follow up and follow up and follow up. And that's where those follow-up activities right now are critical to build your audience, build your email list. Now more than ever, if you are not building your email list, you will be done in this market in 2 to 3 years because all of the things that the search engines and Facebook is taking away to allow you to keep a digital audience. A lot of people are saying email was going to die because of these things. Now they're starting to pull those things away where I can't stay in front of people due to privacy concerns.
Yeah. So build your email list. And before that, what you shared was follow up, follow up, follow up.
Until they buy or die.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was thinking about that just earlier today, the importance of follow up. And over the weekend, my wife and myself, we are shopping for a luxury SUV. We've got a lease that's coming up and in a couple of months. And you're like, all right, what's out there? Got the Lexus, the Mercedes, the Volvo. And we visited one of the dealerships on Saturday, earlier on Saturday. And I was thinking I would get an email or a text or something from the person who showed us the vehicle. And there was nothing, and there's nothing yet. And you know, in my mind, it's like, follow up, man. There's no follow up. I mean, you know, that would really be so essential to get this sale.
No, I agree. I put a post, I think it was on LinkedIn not too long ago, where I said, I think in my purchasing years, which started in my early 20s, if I added up all of the failure to follow throughs from service providers, lawn care companies, air conditioning contractors, luxury vehicle companies, that I likely would have $1 million in value potentially, not just from what I would have purchased, but if I had had a good experience with that person, the amount of people I would have told and multiply that in their revenue.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And such a great reminder to do that as a business owner, you know, boost sales through people that have come in through the front door or have come in online that have shown some interest, follow up with them. We are nearing the end of this episode. I've got a few more questions, Chris, for you. Top ninja tactics, you know, when you kind of shared one piece of it, you said contact an agency you have no interest in hiring and have a 15-minute conversation. And that's great advice. What anything else in addition to that?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question because I knew we were going to talk about that one before the podcast. And I wanted to make sure I could give something that is as broad brush as possible. And I think this will tie into what I knew you were going to ask me anyway, which is how can people get in touch with you or connect with you? And there is a page on our website called on omgcommerce.com. It's in the resources area. And I would say that some of our best ninja tactics are in the resources that are on that page. And I would say that I bet you a lot of people download those and don't ever really scour them. You should. And so I'll give you a couple of mentions. One is our Google Shopping Guide. That's a resource in there. Brett Curry wrote the original definitive Google Shopping Guide. It was published by Shopify. It was huge, really gave us a big start in our agency. That guide has been recently updated. And if you will consume that entire guide, which I'll tell you, it's like 78 or 80 pages, you will accomplish that education piece that I was talking about earlier. And there are some ninja tactics buried in that document. One is about how to do your images a little bit differently on Google Shopping. I'll just give you that little teaser. The other ones I'd look to speaks to the where e-commerce stores are missing it, and that's on videos. And so the other resource I'd have you look at is our how to shoot testimonial videos. That's something you can do with your first customer. You can make your first sale on Shopify. You can reach out and get a testimonial video. And we go through in that guide how to do effective testimonial videos that you'll be able to use in your marketing later. And then the other one I would tell you to download is the YouTube Ad Styles and Templates Guide. We give you 6 or 7 different video styles. That way, I told you earlier, build a video ad library. You can go through there and look at several different kinds of videos. These are all videos that we have tested through managing millions and millions of dollars of YouTube ad spend to find what are the video types that convert. So if you start from building videos that you know have converted in YouTube campaigns, that's going to give you a real edge over people that are hiring, I won't name names, but hiring production companies that charge a six-figure price tag to build a video and take a cut of your profits. And then you've got a video that's basically sink or swim. It's either going to work or it's not. Might be funny, but I don't remember what it was about. So those are the things I would mention. Our blog has some great content on it as well. I'd encourage you to go to our blog and put in the keyword agency. So if you're thinking about what you want to do there, I go into how you can hire an agency, how you can fire an agency, things to look for before you hire one. I think those are all things that if you read those resources, you're going to find some of our best stuff buried in them.
Very nice. Chris, how do people get to your website or to these resources?
Yeah, it's just omgcommerce.com. And then they'll find the resources tab. We can probably put that in the show notes. So you can, we'll just have a link in the show notes where you can get to those.
Great. And I meant to ask you, Chris, what is OMG? Like, where did that come from? What's that about?
That's a great question. The short version is when we met in my business partner's kitchen around the dining room table 12 years ago and said, what can we call this? Nearly 12 years ago. What can we call this business? We came up with Local Marketing Giant. And my business partner very astutely within a matter of weeks said, you know, local's always going to leave us local. So let's change it to Online Marketing Giant. And then our clients started abbreviating that because it was a mouthful. And so when we transitioned to e-commerce, it just became OMG Commerce. So it's not what you think it means.
Yeah, yeah. So again, what is it? OMG?
OMG stood for our original name, which is Online Marketing Giant.
Yeah. Yeah, we just went through the process of finding a name for our business, which is, you know, niched. I mean, I've been, you know, a CPA and have owned an accounting practice, Straight Talk CPAs, for the last 25 years. And we've created a new vertical niche that provides accounting services just to e-commerce businesses. So there's like this brainstorm that went and we settled for E-Commerce Accounting Hub as the name for our company.
And you know, you mentioned, I know we're over time. So I'll say this just really quickly. One of the things that where e-commerce companies are missing out relates directly to your business as a CPA, that e-commerce owners should be leaning on a CPA or a financial expert, because the amount of people that come to me and don't know their numbers is shocking. They don't know a cost per acquisition for their business. They don't know what that target cost per acquisition should be, or the lifetime value of a customer, because they haven't figured those things out. And if you don't know those numbers, then you will never scale up. You'll never be able to. Because for instance, on YouTube, we use a target CPA. And if you've got a $50 target CPA, for instance, I can probably get you scaled up pretty quick. But if you think you have a target CPA, but actually you're more like a $15 or $18, I probably can't help you scale up on YouTube if you don't know those numbers. So that's one little extra tidbit to kind of help you and your business as well, is people underutilize the financial experts in their business because they're thinking advertising, but it all comes back to the data and the numbers.
Totally. Thanks, yeah, for sharing that. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we created the company, is to really help people that are struggling and they're not running their business by the numbers and by the data, because I believe business is all numbers. It starts with numbers. Yeah. With what you said, lifetime value and so forth. All right. A couple of quick rapid fire questions for you that are out of what you may expect. One is a person or a book that has had the biggest impact on you in your entrepreneurial journey.
I think it's two quick ones. And this one is great because it's older. And so a lot of new entrepreneurs may have overlooked it. And that is the E-Myth. So the original E-Myth book. And the other one is Traction, which I believe, I don't know, I don't think it was written by the same guy that wrote Good to Great. I think those are two different
companies. It is. E-Myth is by Michael Gerber and Traction's by Gino Wickman.
Correct. Yeah. But I can't, Traction is huge. And I'm surprised the amount of people that tell me, ask for a good book recommendation. I tell them that and they say, oh yeah, I've heard that. I'm like, well, then what are you waiting on? Just like go read it and implement it.
Yeah. Awesome. That was great stuff there. Chris, as we finish off, final question, final words of wisdom.
Oh, I don't. I think if you haven't gained any words of wisdom from the last 38 minutes, then I don't know if I can help you. So I think we'll leave it there.
No one's ever answered that question in that way. I like it. It's different.
Awesome.
Super. Thanks, man. This was amazing. Appreciate it. Really, really appreciate you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at ecommercemoneymap.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about the E-Commerce Accounting Hub, visit ecommerceaccountinghub.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast.